got a title today I want to share with you, and that is Staying and Encouraging Each Other. Staying and Encouraging Each Other. We all know what it feels like to run away. We've all of us come to the end of ourselves. I can't take any more. But there's something that we learn about all of that. We know in our hearts there's nowhere to go. And you see, wherever we try to go, God has a way of catching up with us. And thank God that he does. That is a father's heart. A father's heart never gives up on his children. And he will bear with them. And he will be long-suffering with them and patient with them. And that is exactly what our Heavenly Father does. And so I'm calling this teaching today, Staying and Encouraging Each Other. We get a glimpse of this from Paul's letter to the Romans. And if we turn to Romans 15, I want us to look at verses 1 to 7 of Romans. And here he encourages the Christians to stand and to bear with one another, and to pray with one another, and to believe for one another. Because, of course, we all go through various different trials and testings. And we pick this up in chapter 15 of verse 1. And here he says, "We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ, who received us to the glory of God." And that really sums up why we're here today. It sums up what our meetings are about. We can have vast knowledge. We can know all the scriptures. But unless at the end of the day we experience the love and fellowship and the unity that is found in the body, it profits nothing. And that's why I'm calling our teaching today, Staying and Encouraging Each Other. You see, we live in a world and a society that all demands its rights. Equal rights. Human rights. It's all my rights and so on. And we are bombarded with that today. And so much of the emphasis of these rights, what fuels all of that spiritually, is witchcraft. And that is why we're in a culture now where you sue. You get what you can get out of everyone. And then what does that create? Fear in industry, in jobs or whatever it is. They are fearful. Unless you say the wrong thing politically. You're getting a society now where people are afraid to open their mouths to say anything. Right. Unless it's litigation. Unless you are sued. And these are all the things of the last days that are going to happen. And it is witchcraft. It is all part of control. Everything is geared to put you and your needs first. And this is feeding the pride of man. It's puffing him up as that little god. And of course, we wonder why depression and oppression is on such increase. We wonder why there is so mental disturbance now. It is not rocket science. We can see clearly all of these things that are happening. And the tragedy is it is affecting young children, the ages of 5 and 8, suffering with depression. I don't know about you, but when this, the age of 8, I didn't even know the idea of depression. Did you? I didn't. We didn't know half and a quarter of these things that young children are so open and victims to now. Little wonder that we see these problems that we see. And the internet is shaping society. These platforms are shaping society. And we have to be on our guard with all these things. I mean, we're using, of course, the internet today, and thank God for this. This helps us because we're scattered around. We can still have our fellowship and the word ministered. But we know we have to be on our guard with this thing and to know how far to go with it, you see. So we wonder why these things are happening today in society. And it doesn't take long to work it out at all. And we're going to find, and we're seeing it now already, where medical science, NHS, can't handle these things that are happening. It's just not the money. You cannot keep ploughing money into these systems when on one side you're trying to heal them and on the other side they have fed with all this stuff. It's ridiculous. And I don't want to go down this road, but I'm simply going to say this in passing. And this is why our political leaders don't want to challenge all of this stuff too much. Because if we do, you don't get the votes. And they don't get in. And they don't have the power. We have corrupt systems. And don't think it is England. It's all over the world. This is why God brings us together. This is why we have meetings like this. This is why we can just shut the door to this and come and bask in the presence of Almighty God and get a touch of what the kingdom of God is and what the future and what our future holds. We have the greatest future ahead of us to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because there's nothing you can do with that world. It's on a downward spiral. Scriptures are absolutely clear. It will be judged. And that is why God spoke, and he spoke to us through prophecy. He has said, "You are my building. I am building through you." He is building this spiritual ark. Whereas on the days of Noah, he had revelation of God. God revealed to him to build that ark. We all know the story. And all the world around at that day laughed at him, thought he was ridiculous what he was doing, but he was faithful. He stuck with it. Why? Because he had heard. And faith comes by hearing. He had seen, he had heard what God was going to do. And that's what spurred him on to build. And it's the same spirit that works with us today. Where God has got his ark around the world, a remnant who have come out, who don't want religion anymore and all that man-made stuff, where the spirit can start to build through us. And that in many ways is what the apostle is speaking about here in Romans 15, where we bear with one another's burdens. Pray for one another. Believe for one another. Amen. Stand with one another. Amen. Why? Because he's building through us. He's not just building through me, even though I'm a mouth, you know, I speak the word of God by the Spirit. He's building through all of us. You are far more important than me, what God is doing through you. And I've got scripture to show that. So it's vital that we understand and experience this, you see. And so he says here, we then that are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, in fellowship, we all of us go through various trials. And we become aware sometimes that a brother or sister is going through a trial, and at the moment they're not in the natural as strong as they could be. But I am, by the grace and mercy of God. Amen. And so I'm going to make myself available, and I'm going to stand in the gap for my brother or my sister. Amen. That is weak at this moment. And I know first what to do, to get in prayer and intercession. And if it means, Lord, you want me to go, and you want me to help my brother or sister in a practical way, I'm available to be used. We have, at present, a sister in our body that we don't see very often, but she is weak. And she needs our prayers and intercessions. And Lord willing, I may be going down tomorrow. Because that is the practical side. To stand, to believe. And that is what this is about. We who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. Here's the clue to it. And not to please ourselves. It's got nothing to do with me. It's what God shows me to do. And we do it, why? Because he's making servants out of us to serve. See, if we don't have that in the body, we have no fellowship. We can know as much of the word we want, we can get excited about the word and everything, but if that is not what motivates us in our hearts, it's empty. Useless. Useless. But he goes on, let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification. So it means that with this we edify, we encourage one another. And so at my weakness, you help me, you encourage me. And many times we can pick up the prayers of the saints who are standing with us. We may be apart, we may be scattered around, but you know you've got people who are standing in the gap. Praise for you. Lord, hallelujah. And we need that. You need the prayers of the saints. I need the prayers of the saints. Because we don't know what we face. We don't know what tomorrow we face. That is why we experience the God of the now, today, this moment. The rest of it's history. It's gone. It's under the blood. You can't bring it back. And who wants to bring it back? And that's why we are people who forgive. As God has forgiven us, so we forgive by the power of God that lives within our lives. And the rest of it is history. Is history. I remember years back when God was dealing with me on an issue and I was finding it, you know, difficult to forgive and you know, things that we've done. We've had that guilt, you know, and the enemy knows how to use it. He can be so vocal. And I remember one day bringing it up again to the Lord. Lord, forgive me what I've done, everything. And I heard almost audibly, what are you talking about? Well, you know, so-and-so, what are you talking about? Twice, he said it. I got it. And I thought, if he has forgiven me and he has forgotten it, who am I to hold resentment, unforgiveness to anyone else? That changed me. That healed me, you see. So easy. So easy. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. So in other words, he took the whole lot. In other words, what people say about you, what people think about you, I've taken that on. I have dealt with that at Calvary. I've dealt with their judgments. I've dealt with their criticisms. I've dealt with their hate. I've dealt with the whole lot. That's what he's done, because nobody else can. He's righteous and perfect. That's what it means. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And that's why this is a book of hope. Oh, boy, is it a book of hope. Because it's hopeless otherwise. It's absolutely hopeless. Now may the God of patience, comfort, grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. So he places himself first. He says, I am the God of patience over you. I'm the God of comfort over you. And I want you to be like-minded as well. Because we know that Rome was not built in a day. Some of us have been in this walk for years. Some of us over 40 years. And sometimes you think you have I ever grown? Have I really moved? Has it all really changed? You know, and then you come back and you think, Lord, you're so patient with me, so long-suffering. Here we go again. You know, here we go again. When will I learn? And there he is. And he's not even judging like we do. Patient. And that's why he's putting that consistency within us. And that is why, because he's put that within us, we're able to help and comfort one another. We do not know until we are placed in those situations and we are willing to be placed in those situations, because God doesn't force us. And then we find those rivers of living water. What comes out? And then you go away from that situation and you think, Lord, only you could have done that. That could only be done by you. It wasn't done by me. But we allowed the Spirit to take us into that situation, to be of comfort. And he will do that. The problem is some of us still aren't sure that God can do that. We're still wavering somehow. You know, I can't do that. I'm of no use and whatever it is. Well, of course you're of no use. That's the very reason why God saved you. God saves what the world rejects. And I can tell you that world out there is rejecting a lot. There's a lot of hurting people out in that world. There's a lot of people out in the gutter. And we're seeing even homelessness getting worse and worse. Particularly you guys in London, you probably see it all the time. And they're dying out on the streets and everything. And that is where the Lord goes to love the unlovable. It's what the world rejects. Oh, how great is our God. Absolutely. And so this is what he's saying here, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. It's not going to be easy sometimes when the Lord brings the brokenhearted, the damaged, out of the highways and the byways. It's not easy sometimes to embrace them. When maybe they don't wash as they should. Maybe their appearance is so disheveled. Maybe they, you know, whatever it is, I'm not going to say, you know, that one is easy. But the Lord says, as I embrace them and I receive them, so you will as well. I had to do something years back to get some deliverance from that. I admit, I was a bit of a snob. I was really, you know, I'm really into cleanliness and all this business, you know, and so on. Well, when I went to India, we were being greeted by a lot of the people. A lot of them came out of the villages and so forth. And then the lepers came. And of course, they had to stand over to one side. They are separated from the others. And I was shocked. I'll just be honest, I was shocked. And I won't go into complete details, but, you know, part of the hands have gone. Some of the eyes have been eaten away. And they have these festering wounds that have to be dressed and so forth. And some of them, their feet have gone and so on. And the Lord said to me, go over and embrace them. And I did. And they were looking. And I just put my arms around them. And these people, who is this man? We don't have this. This doesn't happen to us. I can't explain it. The love of God just took over. But what a deliverance I had. And then the devil said, oh, you caught leprosy. Oh, loud and clear. You've got leprosy now and everything, you know. They put their hands on you and so forth. Of course, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I had to do that to get free, you know. And it did. It freed me. And sometimes God will put you in those situations. And you know what to do. You know what to do, you know. And it's never as bad as what your mind and the enemy tries. He blows everything out of proportion to what it really is, you know. And I was able then to minister. It freed me up because they were coming, you know, to the meetings. They have to separate, you know. They know what to do. And they have their own church, these lepers, and they have a pastor. And they love the Lord, you know. It's such an eye-opener to when you come back to the West and how what we have, the amenities we have, they don't, you know, you go into a supermarket there, whatever it is, mostly empty shelves, you know. And I come back and the first thing when I went into a supermarket, I just stopped. You know, I don't know what people thought. My mouth, I could not believe how spoilt we are for choice. There you are. But God knows. He makes no mistake. And he knows each of us what to do with us. Everything he does with us is tailor-made. And what is it for? So that his love can be transmitted through us to the world. That's why I say you can't do it in yourself. And don't even try to, because you'll fall flat on your face. You know, and you make an absolute mess of it. You really, really do. But here we are. This is what our fellowship is about. And this is why we stay with it. And this is why we let the Holy Spirit build through us. As I've said before, and I will say it again, and I will continue to say this, in the natural, this assembly, FGA, shouldn't run. It's ridiculous. We're all scattered. We can't just get together just like that as we would love to. It doesn't work that way. We're dependent a lot online, meeting together, and yet here we are. What is it he's done? What is it within us? What makes us do this? It's his presence. It's his spirit. It's the power of the spirit that does this in and through us. This is the Father's love. And we become aware. And this is why it's so real. Because it cannot be achieved, naturally speaking. And that is what the apostle is revealing there to the church at Rome. Bearing with one another. They're facing persecution here. And that's real persecution. Thrown in prison. Christians were thrown to the lions. They were made sport of. And so on. And yet they were waxing stronger and stronger. Couldn't put it down. Couldn't put it down. And that's why you see God at times doesn't give in to our wants, to our anger, to our moods, and so on. But he supplies our needs. If you need a new pair of shoes, he will supply and he will give you those new pair of shoes. Because you need a new pair of shoes. It's not, I want a new pair of shoes. I need. He says, I will provide for all those needs. That's why we believe in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. You don't have to worry. God will put a meal on the table. He will give you those clothes. He will pay those bills. And we know what those bills are all about. Yeah. Word. I don't know how some people can live. Does it come down?
Nope.
Not at all. Not at all. It continues to go up and up and up. And they've always got an excuse why it is. And so on. We know what's motivating all of these bills and everything going up. It's called greed. It's called greed. It's not rocket science. And sometimes you get these bills come through and everything, you think, praise the Lord. And you leave, Father, here it is. Needs to be paid. And God's faithful. I don't know how he does it. I don't even try and work it out. But he provides. He provides. And we've all got testimonies of that. Maybe, you know, you've had a tax rebate, just comes at the right time, or, you know, somebody's left you something, or somebody gave you some money, or whatever. You just find the provision of God is there. Why? Because you're putting him first, and he's promised he'll do it. And abundantly, and more, because that's the Father's heart, isn't it? Hallelujah. And that's why you see, sadly, these name it and claim it people in these churches, a lot of it's coming unstuck now. I hear reports. It's not delivered. Why? Because the motives are wrong. You know, they see him as some spiritual Santa Claus and you're going to give all the time. You don't do it with your children. You know, there's some things you can't give to your children. That's the worst thing you could give to them. Maybe in 10 years' time, but not now. You know? And I see parents buying these expensive phones for children 8, 9 years old. It's not uncommon for parents, particularly around here, giving children pocket money, £35, £45 a month. That's not unusual. And I'm talking ages of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They have £40 a month pocket money. I've heard it. It's my right. And as parents, it's your right to give it to me. Hey. What are you laughing at? I know, I heard it. Get on your bike. But that's the attitude today, you see. And it spills over. We have it in Christendom. We have it being preached behind the pulpits, you see. And then they wonder, you know, they go into a sulk and a mood. Oh, it didn't manifest. I didn't get it, and so on. We've got some scriptures for all of this. Psalm 37, verse 4. This is one they love to use. Actually, we'll take it from verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. There you are. You delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you everything you want. They don't really understand what the word delight actually means. What the whole thing is about. It's about a consecration. It's about a commitment. It's about being faithful. It's about trusting and obeying the Lord. But you won't get that taught like that, you see. And so, you know, you can fill your churches. You can get the people giving and pledging and so on if you preach a gospel like that. What does Job 22 verse 21 say? Job 22 and verse 21. For what does he care about his household after him when the number of his months is cut in half? Can anyone teach God knowledge since he judges those on high? One dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and secure. He puts his pails are full of milk, and the marrow of his bones is moist. And so it goes on. That's what the Lord does. Even Job is learning through his sufferings that God provides. He will look after us. He'll heal us. But it's not how this prosperity message teaches it. That is the whole point. Now how about Psalm 145? Psalm 145. Verse 20, Psalm 145 and verse 20, the Lord preserves all who love him. There you go. That means you are preserved in body, soul and spirit. All those that love him. Simple, isn't it? He preserves us. And that is why Jesus reveals he'll provide all our needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. I think the problem is we've got a society today where we all think we're worth it. And we bring it over with us. Well, praise the Lord, you know, you saved me, Father, because I'm worth it. You know, I'm pretty special and so forth. Oh, gosh. My goodness, God has to deal with you on that one. We're not. We're all wretched, miserable. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Not one is righteous. It's by the mercy of God. And that is why, as I bring this to a close, we are to support, to encourage one another, and I am convinced this is where our prayers will start to get answered. When we really take on board and we pray one for another and we desire the best for one another, we're going to start to see these prayers started to be answered. And this is why God works with us. And this is why he works with us to guard our tongues, our actions, anger, impatience, and all these things that can so easily happen, you know, that you can just flare up as quick as anything. He's teaching us to guard all of that, because if we don't deal with it, it hinders our prayers. Make no two bones about it. It does. You can say all the right things. You can pray and fast for weeks. But if you're not dealing with these things that come out of our mouth, it's a waste of time. Waste of time. Let's look at some scriptures. We know this one very well in light of our fellowship and unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as there's one calling in one hope of your calling and so on. So there we are. We endeavour. It's sometimes going to cost us. You know, sometimes you just think, oh, I can't make the meeting today. I've had a terrible week, you know. I'm really tired and everything. But I know where you are. There are times, you know, I just feel, I can't preach. I've had such a busy week. There's been a lot going on. I can't face it. But I endeavour. I know what God wants of me. And you're always blessed. And it's always worth the sacrifice because the Spirit takes over. That's what we mean by this. Because life can be like that sometimes. It's not always free and easy. Galatians chapter 6 verses 1 to 5. Galatians 6 verses 1 to 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such as one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we have to be sensitive. Sometimes saints go through it. They're going through temptation. They're battling in the faith. You who are spiritual, strong, just obey the Holy Spirit. What he's showing you about that brother or that sister. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have a rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So there we are. That speaks to me about a saint who is very sensitive to the Spirit and very sensitive to themselves and has got no grand delusions about themselves. They know where they have come out from. They know what God has done and what they have been forgiven for. It creates such a sensitivity, and God uses that sensitivity so that you can be sensitive toward one another. You see, that is what he means by this. And all of this means that our prayers, our commitment, will edify the body and bring brothers and sisters closer to Christ. Is it your desire to bring your brother, your sister closer to Jesus? Certainly is my desire. Most certainly is my desire. Because that's what it's all built up about, you see. And God will do it. God will do it. This is why we're learning. We can't do this by ourselves. There's no such thing. Well, I'll be a Christian, I'll follow the Lord, but I'm going to do it myself. You know, I'll follow God. I know people are doing that. I know people are doing that. You can't. Part of our perfecting is with each other. That's how it works. Because God has a family. He is a family man. He instituted the family. That is his heart. And we have an enemy today who is trying to destroy the family unit. And we've got a society today now, and we have got people coming up in society who do not know what to call themselves. They don't know whether they're male or female. And so on. And so, well, betide you if you call them wrong. If you call them sir or madam, or whatever it is. I've got the points, I don't know what to call them. I don't know what to say, you know. That's what we're leading towards. If that is not insanity, I do not know what is. It's fearful. What's happening? It really, really is. And these people are so militant, very, very militant. And they will prosecute you. They will make sure you're put in prison. There's such venom and hate in them. They don't know love. They don't. But there we are. As God is patient and merciful with us, so we are with them. And God may well lead you to these people. And they may well come through to Christ.
Amen.
So none of us can have any of these preconceived ideas. We get shocked by it, but we have to be open to whoever the Lord is going to lead and guide us to. Let's make no bones about it. I mean, they all came to Jesus. Here we are, the Son of God, perfection. And they came. They flocked to him. Very many, many undesirables. We know how offended at times the disciples were. They were offended. How can you spend time with them? They were offended when he spent time with the tax collector. Because they were not liked. I don't think times have changed. Yeah, yeah. You see that? How can you talk to a tax? How can you spend time? How can you go into his home and have hospitality and eat with him and whatever? It's still the same mindset and attitude. Human nature doesn't change, you know, but he did. Because he wasn't prejudiced. All he cared about, that souls were saved and they would know Christ. That must be what motivates us. That must be the driving force. Otherwise, what's the point? What is the point? Hallelujah. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. That's what I believe the Lord's laid on my heart to share with you today. Staying and encouraging each other. And that's why we do what we do. And that's why we're here, and that's why we want the Holy Spirit to continue to change and work with us as he does. Well, we're going to be open to how the Spirit leads and guides. We're going to share communion with each other and pray, and if there's prayers or whatever it is, but I would like us to, I believe the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding, and you do not have to do this. You go as the Holy Spirit leads. None of us are ever forced in any of these situations. But we believe that we have a prayer cloth here. And I'm going down to see my sister Marie-Louise, Lord willing, tomorrow. And if you feel led to pray the prayer of faith over this, we know the power isn't in this. It is simply a point of contact to quicken faith. And I'm going to lay this on the table here. And if you feel led to pray over that for our sister, you go as the Holy Spirit leads. Hallelujah. Well, let's just have a time of worship and praise as we focus ourselves on the Lord and how he leads and guides. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.